I didn't put the bulkhead between section 3 and 4 high enough. There's a 3-foot gap. And when the water pours from sections 1, 2, 3 over to section 4, it'll run into section 5. And when it gets there, the ship is gone. It can't hold them, others can't buoy it. It'll be a matter of a couple hours. And that's the most time we have. They begin to wireless frantically for help. There was a ship some 30 miles away. But back in those days, they didn't go like they did today. They just crept along the Carpathia. It was anchored, but it come to the distress call of the Titanic. About 1:05, that old ship was in a perpendicular position. They'd put a few people. They put 1,407 peoples remain on the ship. They put 721 in the few little lifeboats they had. They didn't even bring many lifeboats because they didn't figure they needed them. That old ship, there's a flag, the mast on the tail end sticking straight up in the air and the bow straight down. People screaming, jumping in the water, hanging on to something for dear life. Then slowly the old ship, as it began to buoy and stuck itself up in that perpendicular shape, here it began its descent slowly as the water poured in. Poured in, the old smokestacks begin to billow out steam instead of smoke. And just a few minutes before it fell victim to that death row, the old band began to play "Nearer, My God, to Thee." They quit playing "Boogie Woogie, Hit Me Dolly with a Solid Fork" or something or another. "Shoe Fly Pie, Hit Me Daddy with a Salad Fork," or some kind of junk. That's what the stinking mess of the world will get you into. It'll get you on a sinkable ship that they say nothing can happen bad to you. If you don't serve God, something bad is going to happen to you. The worst is you're going to hell. They played "Nearer, My God, to Thee." Didn't do any good. The old captain got us seat and sit out in the middle of the ballroom floor. Next to him, old Mr. Andrews. Captain Lightoller was given charge of the few little lifeboats of 721 people in them, just women. Old Mr. and Mrs. John Jacob Astor, the millionaire financiers from New York City. They had to make a decision. Captain Smith said, "Mr. Astor, you can't go. Your wife can in the lifeboats." She said, "No," said, "we're prepared to go down as a lady and a gentleman." They put on their best clothes, their tuxedo and evening gowns and her hat and his old derby and everything. They got everything they could get on that was pretty. And that old ship up there in its perpendicular position, it started down, it gained momentum, and it was estimated when that flag went out of sight, it was going at least 40 miles an hour straight down into that 7-mile-deep Atlantic Ocean. And down it went with 1,421 people to an icy, watery grave. And it's still down there. They found it the other day. We're on an unsinkable ship. Those half-frozen spectators in those few little lifeboats were watching the most shocking drama that human beings has ever witnessed before their eyes. In shock, the Northern Lights was between them and the disaster of that Titanic. They could see the silhouette as if it were day. 35 minutes after the Titanic was out of sight, the Carpathia come up full speed. 35 minutes too late. When they got there, there was no sign that ever been the world's largest ship. It was gone. And 1,421 people who were foolish, they went down to a watery grave, lost. Almost saved, but lost. The Bible calls a person a fool that'll try to gain the world and the material possessions of the world and lose his own soul. What shall a man give? What shall it profit a man, Jesus Christ, If you gain the whole world, you get the money, you get the wealth, you have the fun, you have the pleasure, what will it profit you if you gain it and you lose your soul? It cost you your soul for what you've had in your hand, what you've experienced in this old fleshly body. You lose everything as a finality. What will it profit you? He told the story of a rich fool that piled up possession. He tore down his barns and built greater. And he said, this rich man said, I'll build barns and I'll say to my soul, I'll store up my goods for many years and say to my soul, take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But that night God said to him, you fool! Tonight your soul shall be required of thee. Now who's going to spend that money and use these things that your hands has provided? Luke 14 verse 15 said, so is he that is rich toward himself and is not rich toward God. See, God wants you to lay up treasure in heaven. That's the responsibility of a Christian. The average Christian looks at that responsibility and they weigh that with that money, that material possession, that fun, all that old pleasure that can come that Moses said he rejected it. By faith, he rejected Egypt. He rejected the pleasures of sin for a season. He esteemed that the reproach of Christ was greater riches than all that Egypt had to offer in its riches and glory and its spectacular source of pleasures for the whole known world in that day. He counted it as dung and says, I'll take the more difficult route, because he saw with the eyes of faith it only led to hell. But that difficult path led to the city of God, eternal life. What do you see? What do you see? When you see Christ standing up there, what? As he stood before Pilate, what am I going to do with this man? It's on your hand. You're going to do something with him. You're going to reject him or you're going to accept him. There ain't no halfway between. You either reject Christ all the way or you accept him completely. His lifestyle, his responsibility. Which is it? That's your choice. God made you a free moral agent. He's not going to make you do anything. But one day, he'll make you wish you had. He'll make you wish that you'd made the right decision. And I wish that, and I pray that, and I insist on it. If you're here, or there's some people in our video audience, that you're there and you're lost, or you got lost boys and girls, or a husband, or a wife, or mother, or dad, or good friends, or kinfolks, that you let them hear this message if they're not there with you. If they're there with you, get them to pray. Get them to seek God while the Holy Ghost is there convicting, subjugating them to the scanning. For a moment, at least, the Holy Ghost comes and he breaks the spell of the power of all of those things that are carnal and fleshly. And for one blinding moment, he helps you to see the wretchedness of your lost condition. You may never see it again, but somewhere in every person's life, God helps them to see for a while, sometime a short while, sometime a long while, that they're lost and they're miserable and they're blind and they're naked without God, without Christ, and without any hope in this world or the world to come. What will you give in exchange? What will you give in exchange? What will you give in exchange for your soul? Oh, if today God should call you away, then what would you give in exchange for your so, as you, the tree falleth, that's the way you're going to meet God. The way you die, you're going to meet God, either lost or prepared. One old prophet, Amos, cried out in Amos 4 and 12, because I'll bring you into judgment, therefore prepare to meet thy God, my people. Prepare to meet thy God. Let us pray. Our Father, in Jesus' name, I ask you to move. Break every stubborn will. Convict every hard heart.
Oh, God, I pray the Holy Ghost will break the wills and the spirits of men and women and young people to bow to that will that will bring them eternal life, that will, Lord, cause them to avoid the pit of hell and the sufferings for eternity that will result. I pray, oh God, that you'd cause them to consider the price that was paid for their salvation, that through the blood of Jesus, they can repent, give up their old sins. It's going to lead them to hell and to bondage and turn to Jesus. And when they believe what I've preached, the word of God, that truth will make them free from sin and the penalty and the consequences that results. Lord, turn many hearts to Jesus through this message. Draw them to the cross of your Son, Jesus Christ. And may they confess it as Lord. You're my Lord. I renounce my sins. I receive you, Lord, as my Master and Lord. In Jesus' name, we praise you. Amen.